What's going on, guys? It's Zach. Today's podcast is sponsored by 21 Studios, the company that's bringing you the 21 Convention, the 21 Convention Patriarchs Edition, and the 22 Convention Make Women Great Again. The links below the episode will bring you to the homepage where you can get your tickets. As you'll see, you've got speakers such as myself, Tanner Guzzi, Elliot Hulse, George Bruno, and many more. They'll be talking to you on and off stage, mixing it up from October 1st through October 4th. And it's bring a friend free. So when you buy one, you get a ticket. You can bring a friend, and if you upgrade to the VIP package, you can attend the main convention as well as that of Patriarchs, or you can bring a friend, just go to one or the other, or you can bring your spouse, have her go to 22 Con while you go to 21 Con. You can make it work in your favor however you see fit. But this fall, we're going live, so grab your ticket now before prices go up. Now let's dive into another episode on the Family Alpha Podcast.
Welcome to the Family Alpha Podcast, a place where men, families, and the truth have a voice. The information shared on this podcast is meant to be applied. Now, here is your host, Zach Small, founder of thefamilyalpha.com and co-founder of thefraternityofexcellence.com. Let's get to work.
Today, I have a first-time guest, Demp. Demp is almost the perfect guest. Over the years of following, you know, the message being put out primarily on Twitter, I've seen this man keep a level head while the world lost its mind. I've seen his family seem pretty stable while everybody else is going nuts. And then along with the company that he has, Soul Attack, you know, that's something that could be used in all communities to improve them. So with that, Demp, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, man. Glad to be here.
Happy to have you. Again, we were talking last night. I was like, man, your stable voice is what is needed. You know, everybody thinks it has to be some grand scheme. Dude, normal people is what needs. It's not normal.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much just pure craziness going on in the world today. You know, we try to keep everything at home as stable as we can, you know, especially for my son. You know, he's about to be 5. And the more normality that we can bring into his life with all this, with COVID and all the riots and all this stuff going on, it's, you know, better for him and it's better for us. So
just now, did I see that he is starting T-ball?
Yeah. Yes. He wants to. So If he wants to do it, we'll give it a shot.
That's fantastic. When you talk about the asshole sports dad, like, that's me.
Yeah.
I'm that, like, pretentious dad. I'm like, yeah, my kid hit a home run. Like, it had anything to do with what I did.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But, I mean, that goes to the point, you know, of maintaining that stability. So, I guess, you know, one of the main questions I wanted to bring up was, how are you keeping a level head and not losing yourself to this chaos?
I mean, just kind of take everything – with it. I mean, honestly, what I can control, I can control, you know, and that's pretty much all I can do. So, I mean, yeah, the world might be burning and COVID and all this other stuff, but I can't directly control it. So I don't spend a whole lot of worrying about it because there's no point in it. It's just, it becomes just doom porn and mental masturbation. So, I mean, I'm not saying I'll blow it off or anything like that, you know. I try to keep apprised of it, but there's no sense in losing sleep over it.
No, I completely agree. It's the exact approach I've taken with myself and my family is like, look, I can control what I can control, and I'm not going to let the world's problems become mine. Have you found that your approach to that has led to, you know, Mini Demp doing well and then your lady doing well?
I mean, it has. You know, with the lockdowns and stuff, you know, we couldn't have, like, his niece over to play and stuff like that, and that kind of bothered him. And, I mean, even if I'll just say 5, he knows about it, you know. He just calls it the sickness. And, you know, that kind of sucks as a dad to hear your 5-year-old talk about the sickness and when is it going to be over, you know, like, when can we go eat in a restaurant? And that's another thing about, like, trying to have as much normality as possible with him, you know. I mean, you're a parent, you're a dad, you know, that kids are way smarter than people think, and they pick up, they can read a room better than most adults, you know. And so we try to keep it pretty normal here, you know, try to keep him busy with stuff in the yard, playing with me, having his chores with the chickens. He owns all the chickens around here, and just stuff like that, you know. Just, we try to keep an even keel for him. Mostly, you know, we're adults, you know, we're going to deal with what we got to deal with, but it, it's mainly for the kiddo, trying to keep everything cool for him. So I don't want him upset about the sickness or, you know, any of that stupid stuff. So not that we're hiding it from him. It's just not, the chickens are fighting right next to me. So.
Dude, that's fantastic. So we had chickens, and then I went on a trip to, I was hanging out with Anthony Johnson. We were doing something for 21Con, and I came home, and my wife had left the door open to the coop, and the freaking coyotes got them all. I came back, like, we had six of them, and they were gone. I was like, what the happened? I was gone for 3 days.
Yeah. We have, I think we have nine now. And, nine. And one of the hens is sitting on eggs, so I think we're about to have five or six more.
Cool. That's the way to do it. You know, your little man calling it the sickness, it sounds so ominous. Just hearing that, it's like, you know, the blackness of like Never Ending Story or something.
Yeah. I think nothing. You might have read The Stand or something.
So now when you're trying to maintain that semblance, I mean, you do what you do, you know, day to day. I think a lot of adults compared to children, and I agree, they're a lot more perceptive and smarter than anybody gives them credit. A lot of adults let a lot of static get in their head, you know, letting, you know, the outrage porn of the news, you know, perpetual anger. Like, if you're not mad about this today, we're going to make you mad about that tomorrow. You know, adults get hooked on that. Have you ever been in that loop and you broke free? Or have you just always been like, nah, not today?
I mean, I'm not the most, like, optimistic or pessimistic person ever. You know, I'm just a realist. And I realize it. I mean, I can't control it, so not to be glib about it, why worry about it? You know, be aware of it, but there's no sense in having to take a Xanax or something like that over it. I mean, I've gotten severely worried about stuff before, like everybody else, but nothing like off of Twitter or the news, you know? But, I mean, not to say it'll never happen, but to this point, I mean, no, I've not gotten locked in that static loop of, oh my God, look at what's happening on Twitter. Look at what happened here. And just, that's, you know, Twitter's great. I mean, Twitter has helped me build my business, but it's also like probably the worst website ever created in mankind.
Everybody gets a voice. There is no like IQ. You've got to like qualify to get in.
No. And it's, I mean, it's just, it's the Thunderdome. It's, and I mean, it's tame compared to what it used to be. But yeah, I've seen some of the most brilliant things ever, and some of just the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life on Twitter. I think it's been a net negative for the human race. I really do.
I think I've found myself on both sides of that. I'm like, this is brilliant. And then I'm like, I am such an idiot. It's a wild, wild thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Now on Twitter, you know, and this is one of the things that really, I really wanted to get you on the show, is the amount of LARPing and the amount of just absolute bullshit advice that's being put out there. And I saw your video on your cover drill using the golf cart, you're sitting bouncing around. Dude, I must have watched that three times, and I laughed harder each time I watched it. And it's just insane. Like, it was comical, but it was also sad how bad things are getting with the advice being given to people. Here's how you protect yourself.
Yeah, and that was a tailored response to an unnamed entity, but I'm pretty sure you know who I'm talking about. I mean, don't get me wrong, I LARP. You know, I have gear and kit that I will never probably ever have to wear. I hope that I don't, but I mean, I don't make YouTube videos about it and be like, hey, you need to go buy this because this piece of kit is great and it'll serve exactly this purpose. Because I'm not a subject matter expert on that. So I mean, LARPing can be harmless, but the kind of LARPing that like you're talking about, that can have consequences. You know, you're telling people to do certain things to protect themselves or treat wounds or stuff like that, and that could definitely be harmful.
I mean, your point on sharing the advice but not telling people what to do, there's a big difference there. You know, I say, hey, you know, get firearms to protect your home, protect yourself, you know, learn how to use them, be comfortable with them. but it's not to the extent of, hey, make sure you have 14,000 rounds of this and you need to be ready to go through these weird drills with your family, like Doomsday Prepper, like the show type shit.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. And people are, from what I've seen, and you can correct me if I'm wrong from your observation, but they're almost leaning more towards the wrong side of this pendulum. They're like, oh yeah, I'm all strapped up and ready to go. Dude, what are you going to do? Like, seriously, what are you going to do right now?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if the barbarian's at the gate, yeah, sure, we'll kit up and bust open the gun safe and have a great time. But I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like the whole, like, yeah, you got to have thousands and thousands of rounds. And I mean, full disclosure, I have a lot of rounds, you know, with, I'm not saying that people need to, you know, I don't give that type of advice. I try not to. I really try not to. There's, I think it's blown up because it makes money. I mean, it's a grift, just like a lot of grifts. It's a very effective one, apparently, because, I mean, the amount of tactical operators on Instagram has got a number, like, in the hundreds of thousands at this point, probably.
It's more than me, that's for sure. I'm looking at these guys, I'm like, what the hell? I got to start taking pictures with guns. You know, apparently that's like chicks with like cleavage. Yeah. You have to have a gun. You can't be a normal dude. You got to like be strapped 24/7.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I carry and I have a lot of guns. And I think that everyone should be able to legally exercise that right, especially in times like these. But, and I love gun porn just as much as the next guy. You know, but some of the stuff I see on Instagram and YouTube is it's people that I don't want to talk bad about anybody, so I'll just leave it at that. Just some real bad advice going out from people with really, really, really big audiences.
Now, to shift gears a little bit with Soul Attack, and to be a good host and to be somebody who's not just LARPing, I picked up the Black Bok that's filled and the basic bleed kit, and I got the Boogaloo out. So I'm supporting the business. I'm all about it. Ooh, but with that, one of the reasons, you know, is not just to be more prepared. I have my kit, you know, all fathers should absolutely. But this goes to the people are looking at the macro of having to use those 1,000 rounds, of having to, you know, get, you know, the 3, 4, 5 firearms, and they kind of overlook the basic steps of, like, your kid now plays baseball. You know, what happens if they scrape their leg at the playground? It's almost like they're not ready for little things like that. And with Soul Attack, if you wanted to talk about that company and what inspired you to make it, you know, you cover that. You've got, you know, the multi-casualty all the way down to the basic bleed kit. And the reason I got both is you want the basics as much as you want, you know, the big mass casualties.
Yeah. The reason I started Soul Attack, well, a little bit of background. I worked offshore for 22 years in the Gulf of Mexico. The last 10 or 12 of those, I've been a medic as well. So, oh shit, what did I do?
You're back.
Sorry. Yeah, I've been a medic as well. So, when I started, I just started looking around on the internet for different kits and stuff like that. And I saw what was being put in these kits. And probably 95% of it was just like useless junk. And it was all overpriced. And so I was like, hell, I could do this. So that's literally why we started Soul Attack, to keep people from getting screwed on these kits. I mean, our thing is we want to put good product in people's hands for a fair price. And that's it. And we sell very basic kits. We don't sell, you know, the halos or the hyphen chest seals or decomp needles or anything like that. And we do that on purpose. One, because I don't want a normie sticking a decomp needle in somebody that they bought from me and getting sued. Two, I don't want normies having decomp needles because they'll hurt people. And three, we wanted to keep our kits simple because of the KISS principle, pretty much. I mean, simple is better, especially if you don't have a whole lot of training, especially in like a serious trauma situation. You know, you should be able to open up one of our kits, look at it, and intuitively even with the most basic level of training, intuitively look at it and be like, okay, cool, I can understand how to use this stuff. And that was definitely on purpose when we started like designing the kits and putting them together.
No, I definitely think you're doing it right. It's intentional bricks being placed. And I do believe that people go on Amazon and they see these 125 piece kit and you're like, you don't even know what half of it is. And the other half you'll never use. You've got three bandages that you might pull out one time.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a main driving force behind us starting Solo Tac. And I mean, it's doing very, very well. We're not trying to be, you know, I don't want to be North American Medical or Recon Medical or anything like that. We're not trying to be huge. Like every BOK pouch that gets sold is Mrs. Demp sews them. She's literally sewing them some right now. She's sewing up orders. We're not trying to be the biggest. We're just trying to be the best in our niche, which is very basic trauma kits and first aid stuff. And that's it. We're not trying to be the biggest, you know, I could do like the guys on Amazon, you know, I could order a pallet of IFAX from Taiwan, stick a Solo Tac patch on it and resell it for, you know, $80. That's not our thing. And we'll never do that ever. We just try to do right by the customer and try to sell quality products at a decent price. That's it.
Now, I saw a video. I don't know if you've seen this one. Somebody was hit by a rubber bullet in their thigh and it scraped them. So it didn't like puncture it. Like it just looked like it scraped the leg and they tourniqueted the thigh. And I was like, whoa, like what's going on? What are we doing here?
Yeah, I saw
that. What is your recommendation? I mean, I know people, they all want to, again, this goes back to doom porn. You know, we're in a catastrophe. Everybody wants to deal with these big situations where your leg's like amputated. What's your advice for people that, hey, I just want basic training or I just want to have a kit and know how to use a basic kit, but maybe they can't get to a CPR class or maybe their local training sucks ass.
Yeah. As far as like the most basic piece of kit, I would recommend everyone carry, especially if you carry a firearm, would be a TQ. If you carry a gun, carry a tourniquet. That's just basic level stuff. as far as training goes, we had thought about maybe starting like some actual like physical training videos, like how to treat this and how to fix this on YouTube. I'm kind of leery to do that because I mean, I don't want people to be like, well, Dimp, I saw this on YouTube and Dimp showed me how to fix it. And now my girlfriend's dead because what he said didn't work, you know, could be a very real possibility. You know, you never know. I mean, paramedics, they get trained. People die on paramedics. I mean, so it's something that I would actually have to like talk to a lawyer about. And I don't know if we're ready to take that step. Now, if you come see me, I'm a certified American Red Cross instructor. And I'd be more than happy to give you a CPR and basic first aid class. But there's some decent videos on YouTube from some medics on some basic how-to stuff. But everybody, like you said, everybody's kind of concerned with like the big and shiny stuff, you know, like they're thinking about gunshot wounds and amputations and getting stabbed and stuff like that. When the most likely injury that you will encounter in your life is going to be a motor vehicle wreck. Period. And it's going to be, and that's just blunt force trauma, or they went through the windshield or something like that. And that's probably going to be the most common types of injuries normies are going to see, like regular people, or your kid fell off the swing set and broke his arm, stuff like that. And it's great to have like the tactical side, quote unquote, like with the tourniquets and the blood stoppers and all that stuff. But you also got to have the basic stuff, especially if you got a family, you know. Hey, if your kid will only wear Power Rangers Band-Aids, you better have some Power Rangers Band-Aids in your first aid kit. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people are getting lost in the weeds about like these big and shiny tactical kits and forgetting that, like, you know, sure, I mean, you can treat your, like, if your kid cut his arm, sure, you could treat him with like that big ass ABD pad and wrap him up with an ACE bandage, or you could, if you had prepared correctly, you could just go get a Power Rangers bandage and stick it on there, and he'd be happy and he'd go back to playing. You know, it's, and don't get me wrong, it's easy to, I mean, I'm guilty as the next guy, like getting lost in the weeds on stuff like that, you know, with, like firearms accessories. I have no use for a lot of the stuff I have, but it looked cool, so I bought it. You know, it's a real thing, but I would recommend that everyone, if possible, go and get at least basic first aid and CPR training at the minimum. I think now, well, I know now in my state, like before you leave the hospital with your kid, after it's been born, you have to take like a little miniature CPR class before they let you actually take the infant home. And it doesn't amount to much. You pretty much just watch a video. It's kind of stupid, but it's something, you know. But if at all possible, I would recommend that everybody, even your kids, older kids, you know, once they get to be about 12, 13, 14, send them to, I mean, some places offer it for free, and some places you have to pay like 50, 75 bucks a class, which is, you know, some people balk at that, like $75, man, that's a lot of money. Well, maybe a really good investment somewhere down the road.
Yeah, the alternative is somebody dying because you're not prepared or you just panic.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, just like there's some interventions. I'm not going to like name them specifically. That are perishable, the perishable skills. Just like, you know, everybody loves guns. You know, this. Well, if you don't shoot, that skill degrades, you know. Like hitting a baseball. I haven't hit a baseball in 25 years. I very seriously get, I doubt I could hit like a 50 mile an hour fastball right now just because I haven't done it. That skill perished. Just like with all your other skills, your first aid skills will perish if you don't practice them. You know, it's something that, you know, you don't have to have the big fire drill with the family and all that, but some of the things you are going to have to practice. I mean, and I think people think that once they buy a first aid kit, stick it in the trunk of their car or the back of their whatever, or stick it under the counter in the kitchen, that it's done. It's over with. I mean, if you bought the kit, did you explain to your wife what's in it and how to use it? Did you explain to your 14-year-old son how to use it, where it is, what to do, you know? And those are all steps that you have to take. And if you're going to take ownership of it, you got to do stuff like that.
I mean, we all talk about the patriarch, you know, leading the family. Well, that education is a huge part of that. I'm really glad you brought that up. We just went mountain biking, and it's the first time I brought my son on some bigger trails. You know, he like just learned how to ride his bike. He's like, let's go to the mountain. I'm like, all right, dude, let's go to like a hill though. So we're getting like mini trails. And I opened the kit in the back of the Jeep, and I was like, hey, just so you know, this is where I keep our stuff in case we get hurt. You know, and I'm going to take this little mini kit we have. I'm going to put it, I had a backpack with me. I was like, I'm going to put that in here because I don't think, you know, much is going to happen. This isn't too big. It's not too steep. I was like, but I'm going to bring this just in case. And I kind of broke it down to him and explained like, hey, like, don't worry. If something happens, I've already planned this out. You know, a cut, a scrape, you know, whatever. And it's interesting you say that because prior to that, I've never even shown him the kit. You know, he knew I had it, but I never broke it down for him. Like, what's in what pocket, you know, what's in what side, how to use it. And that's an interesting point. Two is, you know, things do expire. Like, I have fire extinguishers in my Jeep, in my house, and like there's four misplaced in one of my wife's Jeep. I haven't checked the expiration date in a little while. So I'm going to take a little note. Like, I don't know when those expire, but I know they do. And I don't want to be the guy who pulls the pin to help somebody out. And it's like, kink, and a little puff of smoke and that's it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, like you said, I mean, it's complacency is a very easy trap fall into, and it takes effort to get out of it. Once you fall into that complacency trap, you know, just, and then it becomes keep putting it off. You know, talk about your fire extinguishers, you know. I'll put it off till tomorrow. I'll put it off till tomorrow. And then after a couple of days you completely forget about it once again. And then like you said, if you did actually need them, you pull the pin and it's a popcorn fart, you know, so, I mean, it's talking about like leading. I mean, some of this stuff, you're just going to, as if you're going to be the leader of your family, you're just going to have to like take the reins. And, you know, I'm not saying don't delegate stuff out, but some stuff, like, I want to check it because I want to know it's right. You know, I don't want to take somebody's word for it, even if it might be my wife. You know, I'm not knocking her, anything like that. But some things I want to check because I want to know if it's right, personally. And that's just me. I mean, I'm not recommending that as a philosophy for anybody, but that's just the way, kind of the way I get down with it.
I mean, you're the one who's professionally trained, though. You like, you know what right looks like. You know, through the Navy, that's where I got a majority of my training. My wife didn't. You know, she knows CPR, but she doesn't know what to look. She wouldn't know if something was missing or even out of place.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I mean, I've shown my wife how to do stuff and some more advanced stuff, just because, I mean, why not? You know, I've got the knowledge. Might as well share it with her some. I don't think she could start an IV, no, but she knows what an IV catheter and a drip set and a bag looks like. So if I told her go grab one out of the bathroom off the shelf that I acquired totally legally, by the way, that was all acquired. you know, she would know what to go grab. So, I mean, and it's little stuff like that, you know?
You know, to those watching and to those listening, you don't have to have the flashbangs going off to train, you know, like maybe today go get your kit and open it up. Just look, remember where things are. Because when things happen, you know, like you've got T-ball going on, you know, I've got baseball going on. If kids get beamed in the head, I know exactly where my medicine is. I know where the ice packs are, you know, but in that heat of that moment, you know, the adrenaline's pumping. You don't want to be the parent who, like you said, your kid breaks the arm with the swing or something happens during sports and you just lose all semblance of like collection of your mental skill sets. And you just sit there and panic like the rest of people. And nobody's doing the job to help the child. So go through and just open the kit. Just look at it again. Oh, yeah. This pocket is Band-Aids. That pocket is the gauze. This one's scissors. You know, whichever you need to do. It's not, we got to have crawling under barbed wire, flashbangs going off, machine gun overhead. Like, that's, come on. Like, that's way too far. Do the basics.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And, I mean, even my bags that I have offshore, like, I have a couple of different ones. I make it a point to pack, like, even my big bags at work. Pack them all exactly the same. So like even in like the dark or bad light conditions, I can put my hand on, I know where the ABD pads are. You know, like you were talking about, I know where the gauze is, I know where the ace bandages are, I know where the C spine collar is, you know, stuff like that. And I try to go through like all my bags. Like I have a pretty big bag that I keep in my truck. And a pretty big one that I keep in my wife's truck. I try to go through them like maybe like once a month, every couple months, something like that. Just, you know, refamiliarize. I mean, I know I built it. I'm the one who put all the stuff in there. But just to refamiliarize myself with what's in there and just make sure all my stuff is still there. And thankfully, I haven't had to use it in like a major way. Not any of my personal bags. But I mean, I know it's there if I need it. So it's a cheap investment, man. It really is. First aid and medical is usually like the last investment people make, like when they start like prepping. And it's usually like this bottom tier stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong. You can go like top tier. Like there's some companies out there that make some fine kit, but it's like, it's not meant to go in like the back of the Suburban to go to soccer practice and get my, you know, it was meant for like dudes that are actually fighting in war. And I mean, sure, it would, you could probably treat Billy and Bobby or Janie with that huge ass stomp medical pack, but I mean, you probably don't need it. You know, kind of get what I'm saying? Like, and that's that trap thing I was talking about earlier. Because it's shiny and they see it on the news and they see it in like documentaries about like Syria and Afghanistan and stuff like that. And they're like, that looks cool. I want one. And like I said earlier, don't get me wrong. I'm guilty of that as well. You know, I saw a Mark 18 one time, and I was like, I want one of those. So I built me a Mark 18 clone. So, I mean, the shiny factor is definitely a thing, and, like, the cool factor. Because they see like SF medics running around with this stuff, and they're like, shit, I gotta get me one of those. Sorry, didn't mean to curse. I gotta get me one of those. And, dude, you don't need that. I mean, come on, you're not an SF medic. I'm not an SF medic. I don't need that. You know, so just get what you think you need, you know, and practice with it and know where it's at. That'd be my advice. And get trained. Definitely get trained.
No, I think it's a solid message. And that's a great way to start wrapping this one up is for the people who are looking to, I want to do something. Well, don't think that you have to run a 26.2 mile race, whatever the hell a marathon is. You know, just do like your 5K. So don't think you have to get like this super tactical operator's kit. You know, Soul Attack, like I said, I picked up two things, the basic bleed kit and then the black BOC or black BOK. I'm calling it the BOC, but BOK. You know, and those are going to cover 99.9% of what I have going on that my kids or myself, my wife will face. And then the sticker, because I want to look cool and stick it somewhere in the Jeep. But I mean, outside of that, you know, Lowe's, Home Depot, they sell fire extinguishers. I mean, those two things combined, you're pretty much covered for a majority of motor accidents or youth sports, things around the house.
Definitely. And I mean, that's kind of the reason that we built the kits, especially like the BOK, the way we did. And it's similar to some products that are on the market right now. I'm not going to lie about that. But we went just like really basic, simple stuff, like the SWAT-T tourniquet. It does double duty. You can use it as a pressure bandage or as a tourniquet. It's not the world's best tourniquet, but we wanted something that would do double duty to where like it's intuitive to use. You know, you wrap it. That's it. Wrap it around the wound or wrap it above the wound or here in the TQ. It's still bleeding, wrap it tighter, you know? And it's not the end all and be all of tourniquets. It's not a Cat 7 or something like that, but it'll do the job, you know? And that's kind of the reason we pack the kits the way we do with very simple contents, you know? And that's another way we can keep the price down with those simple contents, because I want as much medical kit in as many people's hands as I can. You know, it's just better for everybody. Because, I mean, you've seen the news. I've seen the news. You know, kids bled out, something like that. You know, just easy, treatable stuff. And just nobody had any medical on. I mean, like our PTK, it's a pocket trauma kit. It'll literally fit in your back pocket. And it's got a tourniquet, Celox, hemostat, gloves, ABD pad, tape. I mean, treat a lot with that. So that our kits are really simple, but they're really simple on purpose. And I know I'm kind of like beating that to death, but we really did do that on purpose. You know, it wasn't so we could just throw a bunch of stuff in a bag, turn around and sell it to people. You know, there was a thought process that went into it.
I think the functional aspect over the aesthetic is perfect. And the bags, you know, that Lady Demp is sewing and making, those look pretty solid, man. So there is some aesthetics to it. It's not just, you know, functionality. It does look pretty cool.
Yeah. She sews them out of Cordura 600. And apparently that's really tough on sewing machines because she's on her third one now.
That's good though. Put in the reps. Yeah. You're like a heavy duty one.
Oh, this one, I'm pretty sure I could dial up the International Space Station. It's got like you can hook it up to the internet. I didn't want to know how much it costs. So
it's worth it. It's an investment.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Demp, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, man.
Hey, more than anything though, thanks for having a level head, you know, keeping the family level and doing with Soul Attack, something that is helping others as well. You know, like I agree with you, you know, there's the cops are busy. EMT is busy. They may not be able to get to you, and that puts the responsibility of the health and possibly saving a life in your hands, or at least mitigating the damage done. So thanks again, man.
I appreciate it, dude.
Yes, sir. There are links below to Soul Attack, as well as some other resources that Dem thinks is appropriate for us to watch, listen, get some visual aid training before we get ourselves into a physical class to get some hands-on and improve our skill sets. You guys take care.
Thanks for listening. You can join our private men's-only community at thefraternityofexcellence.com. And don't forget to find Zach on Twitter and Instagram with the handle @ZachSmall_.